Was that out loud? My bad. How it works, if you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. These are the principles that made our recovery possible. One, we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact natures of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This sounds like a big order, and we can't do it at once. We can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does it. There is one thing more than anything else that would defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. Three of these that are indispensable are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these, we are well on our way. We feel that our approach to the disease of addiction is completely realistic, for the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, for one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe that the sooner we face our problems within our society and everyday living, just that much faster do we become acceptable, responsible, and productive members of that society. The only way to keep from returning to active addiction is not to take that first drug. If you are like us, you know that one is too many and 1,000 is never enough. We put great emphasis on this, for we know that when we use drugs in any form or substitute one for another, we release our addiction all over again. Thinking of alcohol as different from other drugs has caused a great many addicts to relapse. Before we came to NA, many of us viewed alcohol.
So our speaker is a very, very special woman. She's a very spiritual woman, and she told me earlier that it's been so long since she has been with her people that it's been a very emotional journey, even her drive up here. So I want you all to just give her your attention, your love, and send her some awesome energy, because she's going to give you an awesome message. She's from County Line with 32 years, Aline.
Wow. Hi, everybody. I'm Aline. I'm an addict. Can you hear me? Okay, before I get into the good stuff, my husband dared me to say that you spared no expense on this microphone. And I said, I'm married to you. I'm used to duct tape. I've been crying since I hit Visalia. And I'm going to be, I'm here to tell the truth. And before I get into the good stuff, I need to tell you guys, this is the first live meeting I have been to since the pandemic started in over 2 years. I go to meetings regularly. I go to 3 meetings a week, the same meetings. Kind of want to get that out of the way. I got clean outside of Boston, Massachusetts 32 years ago. And when the pandemic started, I went into... I zoomed into a meeting I got clean in Littleton, Massachusetts as a voyeur. I wanted to see if any of my old boyfriends were there. They weren't. But guess what? I'm still going. So I go to those, and I promise I give them a shout-out. Before I tell my story or what I have of it, well, I'm really emotional. I just really want to, I want to commend the Blues Fest committee. I mean, this has been a really, really hard year for them in the last 2 years for them. I've been preparing for what I wanted to say for 2 years because they called me up 2 years ago and they said, would you share at our 2020 Blues Fest? I said, I would absolutely love to. And then the pandemic hit and they had to cancel. And then we were going to have it in September, and my car was all ready to be packed. I had all my merchandise out, and I had everything ready, and they called me and said we had to cancel. So everything I was going to share with you is now gone. So, but I just really want to give them a shout-out for working so hard and sticking with it. And everybody on the Blues Fest committee, please give them all a big hand. So I wrote down all my notes. Two words, thank you. And higher power, because I didn't want to forget talking about it. So I am, I've got 32 years clean. I got clean when I was 34 years old. I turned 66 years old because I'm clean and I get old. You get old around here. And I'm at a very interesting part of my life, and I'm just going to start here and hopefully back up a little bit. There's a famous existential philosopher, and his name is Soren Kierkegaard, and he said, life can only be lived forward, but can only be understood backwards. And with 32 years clean and 66 years old, I'm sort of at the, I call it an existential apex, where I'm starting to look and understand. Steve, can I have water? Thank you. So I'm starting to look at my life and look back a little bit. I have recently semi-retired from one of my careers and jumped into another career, but I'm making the decisions as to how do I want to spend the rest of my life. And, you know, there's an incredible amount of freedom in that. And because of Narcotics Anonymous, I get to make those choices today. And because of the work that I've done with the steps, I have learned to give myself permission to do self-care, like with some of my retiring decisions. And I'm going to back up a little bit because what I'm starting to understand when I take a look at my life was, when I was little, I was just so incredibly broken, and I didn't know how broken I was, and I think all of us were. I don't think this is a big mystery. I mean, we come into this world not really understanding who we are. We're not supposed to. This is something that is, you know, the wisdom with age, and, you know, as I progressed, I actually didn't start using drugs until I was about maybe 16 years old. It started with pain pills. I had a tooth operation, and you know, they say take, you know, 5. I took 30, and then, you know, and actually one of the reasons I carry this around is because I have nothing left up here. My sinuses are completely gone from my Scarface days in Florida, and so, you know, it's really hard for me to share, you know, everything that, you know, has gone on, because I want to tell you like the whole story. And but I want to bore you because we've all been through the same thing. But I do want to share with you some, you know, some highlights. When I first got clean at 34 years old in Massachusetts, I got to tell you, Narcotics Anonymous gave me this terrific foundation. I used to go to meetings every night. You know, I actually went to 8 meetings a week for my first year. And it wasn't because I was any kind of spiritual guru. I didn't have anywhere else to go. And NA was really, really small back in Massachusetts. I got clean in Salem, Massachusetts at this little Friday night meeting. And I'll never forget him, those people. I'm still, you know, still in my heart today. And, you know, I made a lot of mistakes along the way. Most of them had to do with, you know, following men around. I was in 7 relationships my first 7 years clean until I did a 4-step on that and realized that I attracted men who were preying on low self-esteem. And when I did that 4-step, everything really changed. I moved out. I came out to California. I actually chased a man out to California when I had 5 years clean. And because I was actually jumping from state. You see, this is how I ended relationships. This is how much class I had. When I wanted to end a relationship, I just moved out of state. I have since made amends to those guys. Some of the amends that I've made to those guys were to leave them the hell alone. So when you get to that step, ladies or men, if you're working with a sponsor, sometimes it's best to leave that stuff alone instead of bringing it up and hurting people. So I moved out to California, you know, chasing a guy, chasing a dream. I fell in love with California. I've been out here for, you know, well, since I had 5 years clean, 27 years. I love sharing this story. Anything I'm going to share to you about my husband, he's given me permission or I've already shared. So I've been married twice. First one I was married to a drug dealer, because that's what we do, right? Okay, and so, but I ended up in a psychiatric hospital, and he kept doing what he did. And then I had 2 years clean, and I married a millionaire, because I figured I was so broken, I may as well be rich. Well, I was really, really rich, and I was more broken than I could ever imagine. I was really, really unhappy. So I decided not to date anybody for a while. It didn't work out so well, but I ended up coming out here, and that's when I did that spectacular four-step that got me to the point where I wasn't dating at all. And then I was invited to this convention at LAX that was hosted by the gay and lesbian community, and that's where I met my husband, Steve, you guys got that right, the gay and lesbian convention. My husband, short hair, okay, everybody, he didn't know whether to shit or go blind. Anyway, no, that's true, because I went in there, and I went out and tell the story. So I went in there, and I'm like, hi, I'm going dancing if anybody wants to join me. You know, okay, this is like 25 years ago, so things were a little bit different, okay? 66 now, okay? And so I said, if anybody, and so I go down there, and I'm waiting, and this guy never shows up. He didn't get the cue. So anyway, I go back in there, and I sat next to him, and I really liked the way he treated other people. But I said to him, I'm not, and this was prior to, and I don't know I'm telling this story, but this is contrary to what I had done in the past. I decided to wait till 30 days. We were dating for 30 days before we would seal the deal, because you know how us addicts are. I mean, you know, we were picking out the china, we jump right into bed and all that type of stuff. Remember, it was easy because my mother was in town. So on day 30, we dated a couple times. We went out. He took me to the Museum of Tolerance for our first oh, God is right, yeah, for our first date. He didn't know. It was so wonderful. And I'm sorry, honey.
No.
Anyway, we've been together 25 years. This is okay. So anyway, 30 days passes, exactly, and I get this on my front door. So there was Steve, and he had a paper bag in his hand with a toothbrush and a box of condoms, and he never went home. I've shared this on the podium before, so it's okay. And you know what? I got to tell you, the decisions we've made together have been some of the pieces. You know, the first best decision I've ever made in my life was getting clean. Second best decision I ever said was I do to this man. And we've been together 25 years. And those of you, and I know there's some people in here who've been in very long-term relationships who've made it. We know many people. In fact, we were counting some of the people. Guys were on our list of people who've made it, so congratulations. And, very few of us, and we've been through our ups and downs, we're both getting older, we don't want to have to train anybody new. But I waited 3 years before I married him. Wanted to make sure that I didn't want kids, he didn't want kids, stuff like that. But and the reason I'm bringing this up is because so much of my recovery in the last, the journey of my life in recovery because we met when I had 7 years clean. Our first date was my seventh birthday, so we've been together 25 years, has been navigating my relationships with people. And not only navigating my relationship with my husband, you know, my husband survived an illness. I survived menopause, and we both, you know, the menopause is worse. Yeah, it was. And, you know, and I want to tell you real quickly how we stay married. He stays out of my program, and I stay out of his. You know, it's about learning boundaries and working steps. I don't even know who his sponsor is. No, that's not true. He told me it was me, but I don't believe him. So much of our journey has hinged upon stuff that we've gone through in our relationship, and not only relationship with each other, but our families. About 3, 4, 5 years ago, Steve's father was passed away from Parkinson's disease, and his mother, 11 weeks later, was tragically hit by a car. At the same time, my mother was suffering from dementia, and she went into heart failure. Actually, my mom and I had a really, and I want to go into the whole mom story, but my mom and I had a really, really volatile, toxic, horrible relationship growing up. And what NA has allowed me to do was allow me to have compassion to this woman in her last years. She was like a baby at the end because she had this horrible, really bad dementia. And it's not that I showed up for her out of duty. I showed up for her out of the compassion that I learned here. And before my mom passed, there was an incredible amount of healing that was done. And it wasn't the healing with her. It was the healing in my heart. Because that little broken girl that came in here was one that had been emotionally abused through family. My dad, alcoholic. My mom, rageaholic. All of that. And so we've been through some really, really trying times with all of that stuff. And so this is right before the pandemic hit. Like I said, I'm nothing up here. The last time I saw my mother alive was my 30th birthday through a little window in the nursing home. She had dementia. It didn't mean anything to her. She had no clue what it was. But you know what? It meant everything to me. And so we had to navigate those few years, and it was really hard for us. And I really think that, and then, of course, being locked up, well, pretty much, yeah, being locked up, the pandemic and whatnot, I do believe, at least for me, that our relationship got stronger, you know, because we had to face a lot of stuff together. When I was, you know, one of the reasons I didn't make it into Narcotics Anonymous for a long time is I thought people like me didn't get to get into rooms like this because I managed law firms. I wore a three-piece suit, high heels, silk stockings, carried my drugs in a briefcase, and I thought that these rooms were only for people who, you know, I don't want to be crass and I don't want to offend anybody who hooked under bridges to get their dope. And guys, I was hooking in penthouses to get my dope, doing the same thing, thinking I was all high class. And I was so grateful because one of the first Narcotics Anonymous meetings I went to, one of the gals who shared there was an attorney. And I'm like, I'm so grateful that it doesn't matter where we come from. We are so inclusive. This is such an incredibly diverse program. We are so welcoming of everybody. My brother's in the program. My brother's gay. You know, and he's never had any issues, you know, with coming into the rooms here. And I really think that woman's message really carried me through that night and realized that I really do belong here. One of the things that NA has allowed me to do in the last few years is I went back to college. You know, it's really cool. I mean, kind of talking about my accomplishments. Sure, I really want to talk about the drug stuff because we've all been there. I want to talk to you about my recovery, what's happening. See, I get to talk about my three favorite things tonight. Recovery, me, before. Recovery, me, my husband, and the Blues Fest. You know, I love being here. And like I say, it's really emotional for me to see all you guys there. And I wasn't sure how I was going to be able to handle it, what it was going to be like for me. I've been weeping all along. So I had an opportunity to go back to college when I had about maybe 2 years clean back in Massachusetts. And I went into the dean. I said, what have I got to go? And they told me, and I started crying. And she, because I only found out I had 2 classes left to get my undergrad degree. And she goes, why are you crying? And I told her, I'm a recovering drug addict. And I have been kicked out of all my classes because I was high in all my classes. High, I was drinking. I quit drinking over 40 years ago thinking that that was my problem, but I didn't put down the drugs until 8 years later, and that's when I found Narcotics Anonymous. I've had an opportunity, so everybody thinks I'm like all spiritual and whatnot. I go down, I talk about Narcotics Anonymous being a metaphysical program, and somebody said, well, Narcotics Anonymous, there's no room for metaphysics in Narcotics Anonymous. I go, well, let me see. Metaphysics is we believe in something that we cannot see, feel, or hear, yet we believe that it's inside of us. So this has always been a very metaphysical, beyond physical reality for me, this fellowship. And I had an opportunity when I was 50. God, it seems like such a long time ago, you know? I know, honey, it was. Okay. And I had an opportunity to go back and got my I got my doctorate in, as a result of coming back here. And it took me 17 months to write her dissertation. It took me a long time. And I'm only saying that because I'm not saying that to be boastful or brag. I'm really proud of it. But I came in here a college dropout, you know, and I know so many people that have the same story as I do. They've gone back to. I have a grand sponsee on the East Coast, a gentleman who came in to, because I have the opportunity to sponsor gay men, transgender men, transgender women, and because I believe, like I say, it's a spiritual connection. And he came in here with no teeth, and he just graduated with his PhD. And you know something, guys? That's the stuff that keeps me coming back. You know, because by being here and being present and watching people, and even watching people online, we get to do something here that not everybody gets to do. We get to watch people heal right in front of our eyes. We get to watch people heal and ourselves heal. And, you know, like I say, I came in here very, very broken. I've got an opportunity to get to know myself over the years. I'm now, you know, kind of looking back as to, you know, what it is I'm doing. I just, like I say, did a semi-retirement. And I'm making those choices as to how I want to spend the rest of my life. Because maybe I only got 20 years left. Oh, maybe I only got a year left. Maybe I'll, you know, whatever. Narcotics Anonymous has given me the freedom to choose everything that I wanted to do. I've had, you guys know my sponsor, her name is Lori, she's got purple hair, and she's unable to be here tonight, she's on another trip, and she's been my sponsor for over 25 years. She always goes, well, here's the deal, and my husband and I, we were driving up here, and he reminded me, we were driving up in this one road, and he says, hey, you remember when the Red Roof Inn was there, and you had your meltdown? Yeah, I did. I had my meltdown. I said, do you remember what that meltdown, this was, I had 10 years clean at the time, I had my meltdown. I don't know if that was like a, I don't want to call them nervous breakdowns, I want to call them emotional breakthroughs, because it was not a nervous breakdown. And what happened for me that night was, and this is kind of poignant for who I am today, is I asked him, I said, do you remember what happened? And he goes, yeah, something to do with your low self-esteem. We were about to get married. I was about to turn 10 years clean. I was about to have a bridal shower thrown for me to a man that I love, not, you know, not one that's a drug dealer or just has money. And he's a plumber, guys, so, you know. I'm a genius. I married a plumber, okay? Anyway, no, I'm not kidding. So, of course, our hearts have these work, but anyway. So, and I remember I'm sitting at, it was at the Bakersfield Convention. So this is, 22 years ago. And Sally Galvin, you guys know Sally, I can say her last name. Sally Galvin, because I'm sitting there and I'm getting ready for my 10th birthday and this bridal shower and get ready to get married. And she said to me, "How does it feel to be this loved?" I cried for 6 months. I had never internalized and realized how much love that I had gotten. And I called my sponsor on the way home. We went up to the bedroom, and I'm like, and I am bawling, guys. And my husband was there, not as my husband or significant other. He was there for me as another addict in recovery and was able to walk me through all that. So the grace of him and the program and the higher power was able to, you know, because I had always been outside of myself. And when Sally had said this to me, and this is the therapeutic value of one addict helping another without parallel, when she said that to me, I was able to close a gap that had been in my life and my heart for so many years. And I called my sponsor on the way home, and I told her everything. And so all she said, she's very funny, she goes, "It's about time." Yeah. And this whole process really has been for me, has just been a magnificent healing. And, you know, I really feel like I stand in front of you as a whole person these days. And I did not come in here as a whole person. So the work that I'm doing right now in my life is I'm just finished another round of steps on a very specific area of my life. This is not an outside issue. This is my deal. I just finished a bunch of steps on codependence. And I have learned that what I thought was like people-pleasing really was, it was just codependent. Me modifying my behavior to elicit a specific response from somebody else is codependent. And through doing that, I learned how to set new boundaries, how to say no, how to say, "I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this," part of that old soul self-care that we get here. And now I started yet another set of 12 steps that are entirely meditation-driven. And I'm so excited, you know. I mean, I just celebrated my 32 years. I'm so glad I get to be up here with you guys. And this journey, you know, I was starting to feel on my 66th birthday, you know, a year after I got Medicare. But I gotta let you know, I have really good dental insurance. Because I just had a root canal. It's fine, we'll space it tonight. I had a root canal a couple days ago. Through this journey, you know, and turning 66 years old, I was feeling like I have more days behind me than I do in front of me. And I was starting to feel a little bit alone, and I was starting to feel a little bit old, and I was starting to feel like I was running, and probably this was on the heels of my mother's passing and losing Steve's family. I was starting to feel like I was running out of time. You know, and I actually started talking about it in my Sunday night meeting, Tuesday night meeting in South Acton, Massachusetts. And I realized that I'm not running out of time. What I have here is I have more years in front of me to entrench myself in this process of recovery. You know, I used for 18 years, been clean twice as long, but I realized in looking back in retrospect, I have been and I continue to dedicate myself to my own spiritual growth. And part of that, you know, and that is being here. I mean, I got all the other outside stuff like going back to school and all that because I'm thirsty for it. I'm thirsty for it. So I really don't want to go on too much. You know, I do want to, one of the things that I always say is I really believe that as long as I'm connected with a higher power, I can navigate life's challenges. And I believe that's in our literature. And, you know, I just want to, I really embrace this fellowship so much. I'm so excited about recovery. And I'm so glad you guys are here. This is extremely overwhelming for me to be in front of this. You guys probably know Russ, my hairdresser, Russell Longhair, all that stuff. And yeah, I said, Russ, I don't know what I'm going to say to these people. I feel like I'm cheating him because I haven't been in a real live meeting for several years. He said, watch what's going to happen when you show up. He said, the tears are going to start to flow, and they have been flowing. And I don't know how long I've been sharing for, but it's 9 o'clock.
Keep
I guess sure until 9:30. I only wrote 3 notes. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. I'm going to tell you where I was on my 21st birthday. So, on my 21st birthday, I was working on a ship. I was busted off the coast of Cuba in international waters for carrying dope. I was more afraid of jail time in Cuba than I was. No, I was more afraid of my parents finding out than I was afraid of hitting jail time. I jumped ship, and I ended up working for the Cuban Mafia down in Florida for a couple of years. This is when I was 21 years old. So when I talked to you and I mentioned that, make that reference to my Scarface days, I wasn't kidding. Those were, you know, and I know we don't talk about what drugs that we did, but, you know, I have no sinuses left, so that should tell you something. When I lost my first sponsor a couple of years ago, and I should like this story. Her name was Patty. She lived on the East Coast. She has 9 years clean. She was from San Diego. And I remember doing my first 4-step with her, and I was talking about this the other day. And with somebody, and we went out to this little ski valley where I lived in Massachusetts. And I was about to share my 4-step with her, and she says, "Here, let me see that." And she took it and she tore it up. And she says, "Now I want you to share with me what you got from your heart." And I moved to California. Well, she moved to California first. Then I moved to California. And I looked for her for 23 years, and I couldn't find her. And she was in the meetings in San Diego. And I would go to a convention, and like, "Hey, is Patty S here?" He goes, "You just missed her." And that kept happening over and over and over again. And she finally found me and contacted me. And I made plans to go down to Oceanside, where she was living at the time, and we hadn't seen her. And I had a huge amends to make, because I didn't go with her to a convention when I had, I think, 2 years clean, and she wanted to go with me, and I said I was going to go. It was 5 years. I was going to go with you. It's the Martha's Vineyard convention we went to. And she said I took the wind out of, I'll never forget this. She said I took the wind out of her sails, because I didn't go with her. And I had been looking for her for so long to be able to make that amends. It was the one amends that I needed to make. And I'm very excited, and I'm getting on the train. I had never been on the surf liner, you know, the little train that go on there. And on my way, I get this text from Mary Ellen P. If you guys know Mary Ellen, she just recently passed about a year ago from cancer, but she was one of our, you know, incredible message. And she texted me this one little paragraph that they were about to approve in the new Living Clean material. So this is a couple years ago. And I remember exactly where I was and exactly what I was seeing, and I'm watching the ocean, and I'm on the surf liner, and the paragraph comes through and says, "In step 3, we turn our will and our life over to a power greater than ourselves. In step 11, it is returned to us, restored." And I will never forget that. And that is what Narcotics Anonymous has allowed me to do. I still turn my will and my life over, but I am restored because of this. And I guarantee I go out there and screw up, my life will be unraveled. I make no mistake, I'm under no delusion that I'm not an addict. My disease manifests in so many ways. Before I get into that, I want to tell you, I did run into Patty, and we sat in her car, and I looked at her, and we both cried, and the first thing I said was, I have an amends to make. And I told her, she goes, oh, I don't even remember any of that. But I had been carrying that for so many years, you know, and then another amends that I had an opportunity to make was my first husband, who actually found me on Facebook, and, you know, the miracle of Facebook. And he reached out to me because he was the one that I was supposed to leave alone. And he contacted me and he says, I am so sorry I turned you into a drug addict. And I had the opportunity to say to him, you didn't turn me into a drug addict. I already was one. And I pray that you have been able to find what I have found in these rooms. And I don't know if he got clean, but that was a true amends for me. Not, hey, I'm doing great. My life is good. I got this going on. I'm doing that going on. I was able to say, I pray that you are as happy as I am. You know, and that's what I did. And then, of course, my amends with my dad before he passed. And my disease, as I said, manifests itself in many, many ways. You'll see it tomorrow. I have a couple. I have 5 businesses, okay? All doing pretty good, but I paint trolls, I do beads, and I have this new rule now that if I see something on eBay or Amazon and I have to get it, I put it in the shopping cart and I wait a week, and if I still want it, then I'll get it, but most of the time I just forget it, because that's it for me. I don't want to get high. I want a new car, and I've got a new car. You know, I don't want to get high. I need 20 more trolls. You know, I don't want to get high. You know, I need more shoes. I wore 1 pair of shoes. You know, so, you know, and I don't know, and I'm not going to say I don't know where this comes from. I'm going to say, oh, well, you know, I wasn't nurtured as a child, or I didn't have enough as a child, or my parents brought my love. That's not true. Because that's how it's always been for me. Ever since I was a little girl, I've always had to have more and something to fill that hole. Now, that still happens, even with 32 years clean. And I'm going to tell you how it shows up for me. This is why I went to a meeting last Thursday, and I found a great women's meeting back in Massachusetts in a town called Worcester. It's spelled Worcester. We call it Worcester. And I was in the dentist chair, and they had to give me Novocaine because I had a triple root canal. And while I was under the influence, I knew exactly what to say to the dentist so he would give me more. I didn't. That's right. I didn't do it, but I knew that I could, as whacked out as I was, I knew how to manipulate the situation. I didn't do it. So my disease is still there. I mean, I still every once in a while go to the car dealership and I sit in cars. You know, and then I go home. One year, I actually was at the car dealership, and I got all of the brochures. You remember this? When I cut my head out, and I put it in the pictures on the brochure. That's what I do. And the reason I say this is, you know, and I laugh at myself, and I laugh at this, and I don't laugh at the disease. I am an honored and proud member of Narcotics Anonymous, and if I turn my back on my recovery, and if I turn my back to this, I don't know if I'll stay clean or not. I don't want to find out, but I'm going to lose the best thing that's ever happened to me, and that's you guys. I have lost friends here. I have lost family here. When I said that I lost my mom, you know, when she passed away, I wasn't the screaming, angry banshee that she brought up. I was the wonderful, kind daughter that took care of her in the last few years of her life. Like I say, and that healed me. So when I say I stand here, you know, a whole person, and it's because of this work. And guess what, guys? You know what the secret is? You got to stay clean. You got to keep working the steps. You got to keep working your sponsor. You got to keep taking 20, 30, 40 years clean. You got to get old. You know, I know. Well, I got a couple of white hairs up here, you know, and all that. But it is a privilege to get old these days. Instead of being afraid of it, it is a privilege to get old and in these rooms.
Amen.
That's right.
You know. Welcome everybody who's new. You guys are going to have a time of your life. One of the things I want to say is, how many of you guys got clean on Zoom this year? How many of you people stayed clean on Zoom this year? Okay. I was looking at it at one point saying, oh, my God, this is horrible. You know, we're losing people. This is a horrible platform. This platform, and I'm not endorsing anything outside, but the media platform that has been given to us in this format has allowed us to carry our message so much further and so much wider. I met a couple of women last Thursday at a Thursday night meeting that found us, you know, through the internet. I hope that never goes away. I hope to get to some, you know, in-person meetings. And I'm not going to tell you it's because, you know, I'm old or I've got immune issues. It's because I like doing my arts and crafts while I'm on the, you know, of the meeting. And a lot of my meetings have shut down. You know, a lot of my meetings that we had have shut down. But this is my encouragement. This is my juice. You guys are my spark, you know, my fire. So if you stay clean through the platforms that were given us, I salute you, because we've lost a lot of people. Another thing is I sponsor another gentleman in Louisiana, so I get to talk to him on a regular basis. And oh my God. I really don't have much more to share. And, you know, the reason is because I'm just here. I mean, my story is everything that you guys have heard. You know, I'm just, I do want to say that one of the things that's been carrying me through lately is I'm so grateful for the concept of one day at a time. I'm so grateful because I'm literally living my life, you know, one day at a time. Because, and I remember Sam used to talk about this, Sam R, and I think Patty, I'm looking at you because you remember hers. She used to wake up and say every day she was like a duck, you know. Yeah, it just, you know, never knew it was coming from one day to another. I'm excited about recovery. I'm excited about life. I really don't have much more to share. I really don't. I think you guys have heard it all, unless you got me to make up shit. No? I do. Actually, okay. So, yeah, I do. Okay. My dad was in a nursing home in Green Bay, Wisconsin. My father had 28 years in AA. Decided that those people can't tell me anything anymore. Decided he no longer had a problem. And he started drinking again. And he didn't make it back. He ended up dying in a hospital, in a VA hospital. And I knew he didn't want me to come see him. So I showed up anyway, because it wasn't about him, it was about me. And he's a Packers fan. So I just showed up at his door, flew all the way to Green Bay, not knowing what the heck am I going to say. I need to do some healing here with my dad before he goes. And I hadn't seen him for probably, what, maybe 10, 15 years, something like that. And I need to do this. So I showed up in his hotel room. I mean, he's in his nursing bed and all that stuff. And he was just a shadow of the man that I used to know. He used to be this really big guy. And he was like a skeleton. And I just said, hey, Dad, I hear the Packers are playing today. Let's catch a game together. Then I went to a meeting in Green Bay, Wisconsin that night. Every time I've had an opportunity to travel, I've always made Narcotics Anonymous my foundation. You know, my first meeting clean was actually a CA meeting because there was no NA meeting that night. And this was in Marblehead, Massachusetts. And I stood out in the parking lot waiting for the meeting to open because it was either I go to the meeting or I go to the dope house. And there was a gal there, her name was Blaze, maybe some of you remember her. And she was a big gal, red hair, and she's carried a clear message of Narcotics Anonymous at night about abstinence from all drugs in order to recover. Because I was only there to put down one drug. I wasn't going to stop smoking pot because I didn't have a problem with pot. I smoked it every day, no problem. But what I heard at my first meeting was the message of recovery from all drugs. And I got a female sponsor. It was really, really great. And I met a guy there who, and this isn't another guy story, but we got to the meeting really, really early because I had nowhere to go, and we used to put out the ashtrays together. And we smoked back in those. And I sat in the back of the room, my very first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, April 4th, 1990. It was my first meeting. April 4th, 1990, and I sat in the back room. I weighed about 105 pounds, only 155 now. I don't care. And I cried, and I sobbed. I was done. I surrendered. You see, I was done before I was done. What happened for me was my last week of using, I wasn't getting high. It wasn't working for me. It was not working. I thought I was getting different dope from everybody else. But I was fortunate enough to get to that meeting, hear a clear message of Narcotics Anonymous in that meeting, and then they said to me afterwards, let's go out for coffee. Let's go out and get a cheeseburger. And they said, and tomorrow night, there's a meeting in Salem, Massachusetts, and it's a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and it's a step meeting. And that was my first NA meeting, April 5th, 1990. I've been coming to NA ever since. Saved my life, continues to save my life. I really want to thank everybody for giving me the attention. You know, as I say, I always say, how am I going to share 32 years of recovery? I'm here, I'm still alive. I am in a, you know, okay, I won't tell you, here, okay. I keep coming up with more stuff. It's your fault over there. So. I don't smoke cigarettes today. Because of Narcotics Anonymous. I quit when I had 2 years clean because it was getting between me and my higher power. I'm not kidding you. I'm financially stable today, solvent, because of Narcotics Anonymous and the steps that I've worked here on that area of my life. I'm in a healthy marriage and relationship because of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm at peace with my family and their passing, knowing that they left this world with me being a good daughter because of Narcotics Anonymous. I manage farmers markets now. I left the corporate world. I was in intellectual property law. I manage farmers markets now. I work with farmers. I used to make this much money. I make this much money, and I'm happy, just happy. You know, because I'm... And I'm not, like I say, and I'm just getting back to what I was talking about. Today, because of the freedom of active addiction and what I've learned here and continuing to make the choices that I make, you know, I'm choosing the path that I choose to take. And I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, we've had disasters happen all the time, and this whole pandemic's been so weird. Nobody planned for that. But like I said before, as long as I'm in contact with a power greater than myself, my higher power, whomever I call at any time, I really believe I can navigate this stuff with you. Thank you very much.